We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. Yes, we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Just worship him, Jesus Christ.
In your handbook, you thankful for the old rugged cross? Amen.
On hill far away, there stood an old rugged cross. It's the emblem of suffering and shame.
Lay down.
Yes, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross stained with blood. In the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God, He left His glory song.
we sing that chorus together one more time?
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Oh, till my trophies at last I lay down. Oh, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful for that old rugged cross this morning? Amen. Where would we be without it? Amen. God bless you. Want to announce, Lord willing, we'll be having a youth Bible study Thursday, September the 27th from 7:30 to 9:30. And Brother Hoover will be speaking at that. So we're looking forward to that for the youth. And then also had a few testimonies we wanted to share. Sister Tina, my sister-in-law, said, when Brother Danny Steeman was here, I went up for prayer for the health of my hair, that God would make it a testimony to the woman that cuts Anthony's hair. She's always asking to cut my hair to make it healthy. God has made my hair grow almost 3 inches, and I have not one split end. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. So we know God can bring testimonies of those things. Amen. And so we thank God for that. And then also she had another testimony. I was having complications after a surgery I had last October. I was bleeding and couldn't find the cause. After Brother Nathan read Ezekiel 16:6 and prayed, the bleeding immediately stopped. The pain is almost completely gone. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. And then Brother Jason Watkins, I texted him today to see how they were doing. And he said on Wednesday night they'd had prayer before they left, knowing that the storm was coming in. And his youngest son plays the drums for him. He said, well, we'll see you all on Sunday morning. And he said that was kind of speaking by faith, knowing what they were facing. But he said it's a little wet there, but the church is fine, and the believers are fine, and they're having service there this morning. So I want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. So we got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Brother Gabe Eplin, I want to remember him in prayer. He's at home not feeling well today. And I know there's several families that are traveling on vacation, the Harambassics and the Birds and different ones. So I want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies. And also Sister Anna Pierce asked that we remember her grandpa's brother Keith. He's having congestive heart failure and is in the hospital and is not a Christian. So we want to remember him not only for the healing of his body, but the salvation of his soul. And Brother Barry Weber's nephew's wife died in a car wreck on Thursday. She was pregnant and the baby did not survive either. Her 4-year-old girl, McKinley, was also in the car and needed surgery to repair her intestines afterwards, but she is recovering well. She also had an 8-year-old daughter who was not involved in the accident, so we want to remember that family in prayer during this time, Brother Barry's family, and especially his sister and her granddaughters. So how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring, Lord, at this time? Amen. With an uplifted hand. We've got Brother Tim Calhoun with us. He's living in Tennessee right now, but he's kind of the organizer and moderator of some of the ministers' meetings that us brothers go to, and he does a wonderful job at that. I'm going to ask if he'd come, just lead us in a word of prayer over these prayer requests this morning. God bless you, Brother Tim. Bless you,
Brother. Lord bless you, saints. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we come to you this morning, dear Lord. We're thankful for such a wonderful day, Lord, that we can come together and worship around your throne. And Lord, it's wonderful to see the house packed out for the Lord. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you for every soul here. Lord, you've seen all the hands that were lifted up with needs in their lives. Father, we ask you to meet them this morning, Lord. Lord, you told us in your word that whatsoever we ask, if we believe, when we ask and pray, we can have what we ask for. And Father, you heard all the different requests, Lord. Father, I think of that family that's lost, Lord, the mother of the family and one of the children. Father, how that husband's heart must be so broken, Lord. I can't imagine losing my wife, Father, or one of my children. So we just ask you this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would comfort his heart and soul. Lord, the Lord, I'm sure there's parents and extended family, and Lord, the way that happened, just one sudden instant, she's there, the next she's gone, Father. Lord, have mercy on that family, Lord, we pray. And Lord, may this be a thing that you can use. Lord, if anybody's not saved in that family, Lord, may you bring them into your fold, Lord Jesus. And Father, this morning, as our brother would come to minister, pray that you would just bring forth your Holy Spirit. Walk up and down the aisles, Lord, and meet every need. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. We're going to be reading the psalm. We're going to be reading 46. That's 4-6. Brother Calhoun saying we're here 1 minute and gone the next. I don't know how many times I've said that to one of my grandchildren. I said, I may be old, but I may outlive you.
Amen.
I said, hope not, but the point I was trying to make is be sure that you're ready to go. Yes. Make your calling and election sure, young people. And old people alike. Yes. All right, 46th Psalm this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble.
Therefore will my mouth fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea.
Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God help her, and that right early.
The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth.
He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder, and he burneth the chariot in the fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. God bless you, church. Please be seated.
The brothers will please come at this time.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting earth. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting earth. I'm leaning, yes, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all of
bless you, saints. I had a little five-year-old tell me, Daddy, will you sing Pressing On in church? I said, okay, we'll sing it. She said, forgive me, I get emotional. I don't even know why I get emotional. So if you want to pray for somebody on Sunday morning, you pray for me. There's a lot of emotion here, but I know His Spirit's here. Amen. She said, Daddy, you know why I want you to sing it? She said, because it says, Satan, that proves you're a liar again. So if you're here and you need to be reminded that Satan's a liar, maybe this is for you this morning. Help me sing this. I'm gonna keep pressing on and on and on. Lord, I'm pressing on. Oh, yes, I'm pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm pressing on. Oh, Lord, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Satan tries to stop me, turn me aside, says there's no need for you to go on, don't even try. Even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. But I just say, Satan, that proves you're a liar again. I'm gonna keep pressing on and on and on. Journey on, little bride, your change is soon at hand. A few more days and you'll be in that land. That same Lord Jesus, He kept you by His power. He'll send down your theophany in that resurrection hour. I'm gonna keep pressing on. Yes. Stand and sing the chorus. Oh, yes, we're pressing on and on and on. I'm pressing on. I'm gonna keep pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Let's sing it this way together. Well, old Satan, he'll try to stop me. Turn you aside, he'll say, there's no need for you to go on. Why even try? Oh, even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. But I just say, Satan, I'm gonna prove you're a liar again, cause I'm gonna keep pressing on. Oh, press on, little bride. We're gonna keep pressing on. Is that your desire this morning, your testimony? I'll keep on pressing on and on and on. Keep on pressing on. Oh, I won't turn back. I'm pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning.
Amen. Thank you, musicians. If you would turn with me tonight, or this morning rather, into the book of Acts, chapter 7. And I appreciate Chloe following the leading of the Holy Spirit this morning. I was thinking of the same song this morning. I'd already asked Brother Japheth, do you know this song? Is this song okay? And I thought, I'm not going to throw another one on him. So Chloe did it for me. So I appreciate that. Acts chapter 7 and verse 2. We want to pick up what we've been looking at for the last few weeks on identify. Acts chapter 7 and verse 2. This is Stephen, the deacon, as he's speaking here. And he's been accused of saying blasphemous things, and now they drag him out before the city, and they ask him, are these things so? Have you been saying all these things? And he begins to testify to him a little bit, and then he begins to preach to him a little bit, and then they get mad, and they begin to gnash on him, but we're not going to get quite that far. I just want to hear his part of the testimony about Abraham this morning. Verse 2, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no children. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for an opportunity to come together and worship you. Lord, thank you for breath in our bodies and, Lord, health to be able to come out and assemble ourselves together. Lord, we don't do that just to see one another or to be seen or just to hear a man get up and say some words or to sing a few songs. But, Lord, we come together to worship you. Amen. We come together, Lord, to learn more about you and to grow into your image, Father, that you had for us before the foundation of the world. Lord, our desire is not to make ourselves something, Lord, but, Lord, that we could manifest that you are something, Lord, that you're everything. Lord, that without you, we're nothing, Father. Without you, we're a failure. But, Lord, if you'll come this morning, Lord, don't just anoint the speaker, but, Lord, may you anoint the hearers as well. Lord, if you just anoint the ones on the platform, the musicians or the deacons or the song leader or the pastor, Lord, what good would it do us? But, Lord, if you'll come and just anoint the whole congregation this morning to worship you, to get in and do the part that you've called us to play, Lord. Lord, may we each yield ourselves to the specific gift that you've placed in our life, the specific nature that you've placed in us to be able to reach somebody, Lord, maybe on a job or at a school or, Lord, at a grocery store or a gas station. Lord, maybe you place something in one individual that maybe nobody else could reach that person, but Lord, you by predestination would bring somebody by their way with the right word at the right time, at the right place. Lord, we believe that you're more than able. Lord, may you place the right words in my mouth this morning. Maybe there's some going through trials and tribulations and sicknesses, whatever they're facing, Lord. But may you come again by our way and do something supernatural, Lord, that you could speak words of encouragement. I recognize, Lord, in myself, I don't have the ability to do that, but we still have confidence that the Holy Spirit can move and that you can still speak to our hearts, Lord. We commit the service, we commit every situation, every circumstance into your hands, Lord, because we have no more capable hands to bring it to but to you. Lord, our hands are incapable, our desires and, Lord, our opinions and our ability, Lord, they're not able to perform all that's needed, but Lord, you're more than able. So we commit these things to you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated this morning. What a mighty God that we serve. Amen. I didn't have this quote at the beginning of this series, but by about the time we got to the portion about Noah, I ran across this quote, and I thought, well, praise the Lord, because Brother Branham went down this same line of thought in this sermon he swore by himself. And before I forget it, Sister Lisa, good to see you feeling better. And amen, prayer changes things. She was having some type of an allergic reaction or something a few days ago, and then called me, and we had prayer, and immediately she began to progress and get better, and she couldn't hardly breathe, and her face was swollen and things. So we praise the Lord that she's feeling better. Good to see you, sister.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Bam says this, and he swore by himself in 1954. He said to justify it, we'd have to go back and get the beginning of creation and bring that down. That'd take a couple, 3 weeks. And then over Enoch, how he walked with the Lord, that'd take quite a few weeks. And, you know, to get out of them two verses. And then here comes Noah after that. And then Abraham and on down, oh my, we'd ever get over on Abraham. It's just hard to tell how long we would be in there. So we want to look at Abraham this morning. We've brought it down from the creation, Adam and Eve and the serpent seed, and down to Enoch and Noah. So we want to pick this thought up on being identified and look at the life of Abraham a little bit this morning, and maybe this evening as well if the Lord so leads. But I want to take it from Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. And we just want to identify ourselves here this morning. As we looked at a few weeks ago, you remember Brother Bram said we should be able to read ourselves in when we look into the scriptures. He said, as we looked at last week talking about Noah, he said in three kinds of believers there, he said, where would you have been identified at? He said, what part would you play? There was three believers, types of believers in Noah's day, the believer, the make-believer, and the unbeliever. He said, if you look into the mirror of God's word, he said, where would you find yourself? He said, we can do that because our present state this morning would identify us there. People say, well, I can't accept this, the doctrines, and I can't accept that God sent a prophet this age. I can't accept the supernatural. Then you wouldn't have been able to accept the supernatural back there in Moses' day or Noah's day or Paul's day. So when we begin to look, we can identify ourselves where we would be in the scriptures by the present state of our character, the state of our attributes, the desire of our heart now. If you have a love for the truth now, you ought to be the happiest person on the face of the earth, because there's some people that there was no love for the truth placed in them, and so they turned and loved fables more than they loved the word of God. What a sad condition. What a sad estate. But if you have a love for the truth, then you're able to recognize, I would have had a love for the truth in that age. And many times we look at it and we wonder, oh my, if I had been there under the persecution that the martyrs faced, how would I have reacted? How would I have handled it? Would I have been able to handle the pressures of that age? Let me say this morning, if you can handle the pressures of Laodicea, whatever age that you would have lived in, God would have placed something in you that you would have been able to withstand the pressures of that age. There was different anointings. God didn't place you under the ox age to have to be burned at the stake or to give your life in that way, maybe. But yet he placed you in an age where darkness has multiplied and multiplied itself upon the face of the earth to wherever we look, just like in the days of Noah. Remember St. Luke's Gospel chapter 17 there. It said that as it was in the days of Noah, so should it be in the days when the Son of Man would be revealed. And we can look around and see it's back there again. The Bible said that the thought of man was constantly upon evil. They weren't thinking about God. They weren't worried about God when they had their political meetings. They didn't bring God into the picture. When they had their school meetings, they didn't consider God in the situation. And as we see today, no doubt there was maybe killings and murders and rapes and all kinds of things. Why? Because they didn't put God first in their decisions. Amen. But when we can begin to come, and we many times if we're not careful, we get our priorities all mixed up.
Right.
I know people get scared when I start talking about that, but it's true for every one of us. The pastor is not exempt of that I have to constantly recheck my priorities and recheck the way I'm spending my time, because, you know, in this age, you can waste a whole lot of time really quickly. All you have to do is sit down at a computer or before an iPhone or a television screen or whatever it is, and hours can go by. But, oh my, it come time for church, and, well, oh my, the preacher preached, you know, 57 minutes. Goodness gracious, I didn't even start my timer this morning, so just however the Lord leads. But my, you know, as I've said before, if your favorite team goes into double overtime, you're shouting on the couch. But if the pastor goes into double overtime, you're yawning and looking at your watch and turning around looking at the back door. And, oh, where are our priorities? If I was to call you up tonight at the end of the church service and say, look, I feel impressed on my heart that tomorrow morning we're going to gather together here at church again on a Monday morning. I know everybody's got to work and go to school, so we're going to get here bright and early at about 6 or 7 in the morning, and we're going to have a prayer meeting and a sunrise service, and I just feel impressed of the Holy Ghost. I wonder how many would show up. But if Best Buy put it in the newspaper today that iPhones were on sale for $300, the iPhone 10 tomorrow, and you had to get there in line at 5 in the morning to get one, I wonder how many would show up. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us.
Amen.
Where are our priorities? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. He's a called out, chosen person. God calls him out of his kindred, out of his country. Maybe many of you sitting here, maybe when God called you to the message, maybe hardly any of your family, maybe your parents or your grandparents, they looked at you and thought you were crazy. That's okay. The messenger's own family looked at him and thought he was crazy. Remember, we heard it on a tape the other day. He said that, oh my, I said, when I begin to see this and begin to preach this, he said, my mother kicked me out of the house, and my mother-in-law said they ought to lock him up in an insane institution. But as time went on and they began to see what God was doing, their opinions changed.
Right. Hey
man, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, we want to just stop here for a little while, and you know, however long it takes, if we run over, we'll pick it up tonight. But I want to stop here a little bit and read our name in right here, because if God could bless Abram in his condition, here he was coming out of a nation of idol worshipers, and they had come down from the Tower of Babel and all the confusion there, and the language got all mixed up. As I said Wednesday night, we was having an international convention here this week. It felt like we had a brother from Cape Town, South Africa, and a brother from Ghana, and a brother from India, and a brother from Kentucky, and myself, and we was just having an international convention, and Brother Timothy from Ghana, he kept getting on the phone in the back seat and talking to his family back home and different ones from back home, and so he was just going on and on and on in a language that none of us could understand. I told Brother Samson, I said, if it hadn't been for the Tower of Babel, we wouldn't have to put up with this. So I began to interpret for him, and when he'd say something by his emotions and his expressions, I would interpret whatever he was saying to Brother Samson, so we had a good time at that. But I'm not sure how correct my interpretations were, but we had a good time with it, Brother Hoover. So they came down from the Tower of Babel, idol worshipers and all these different things, but yet God calls him out, and Jehovah begins to speak lip to ear to this man. He has a personal relationship with Jehovah, and God comes and speaks to him, and he says, I'm going to bless you, and not only am I going to bless you, but I'm going to make you a blessing.
Amen. All right.
Oh my, if God ever really truly blesses you, you ought to not be selfish about it and say, oh, I've arrived and look how God's blessed me. But the desire of your heart should be to turn around and bless somebody else. Amen. All we all want to be blessed. Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me with this. Lord, many of our prayers is like going down to we used to have the Sears and Roebuck catalog when I was a kid, and they would send out a few months before Christmas, they'd have their wish list, and it'd be a magazine about this thick, and about half of it would be toys. And, you know, I'd go through and circle about everything in the book. You know, I didn't believe in Santa Claus. I believed in Daddy.
All right. Amen.
Amen. But many times if we're not careful, and it's okay to pray and ask God for things, but many times if we're not careful, our prayers just become a wish list. Lord, could you do this for me? And could you do that for me? Lord, I need some more money. I need better health. I need this. I need that. I need my friends to stop treating me so bad. I need this one to stop saying bad things about me. And I need. That's all right to be blessed, but we want to be a blessing as well.
Amen.
In fact, the prophet of this age said that if you want to get a blessing, he said, then be a blessing.
Right, right.
Amen. So he tells him, not only am I going to bless you, not only am I going to bless your family, not only am I going to bless the nation that's going to come through you, even though you're childless at this point, but I'm going to bless the nations of the earth through you.
Right.
Amen. So if we want to receive a blessing, then we should want to be a blessing. The more that God blesses us as a church, the more that God blesses me as an individual, I want to be a blessing to somebody else, whether that's financially, physically, emotionally, whatever it is. If God's right. blessing you with something, turn around and bless somebody else with what it is. Amen. If God's blessed you with good health, I'm going to get myself in trouble this morning, I can tell, Brother Hoover, but if God's blessed you with good health and a good sturdy back and good strong arms, and your buddy calls you and says, hey, I'm moving, could you come over and help me lift some furniture? Don't say, well, you know, I've just been kind of, you know, I'm not sure. I used to have some back problems and I'm a little scared. If God's blessed you, be a blessing to somebody.
All right.
Are you planning on moving soon, Brother Trevor? He's wanting me to drive that home this morning. So, amen. No, that's good. It needs to be drove home. Amen. Our finances. If God blesses us above and beyond what the bills and everything is, turn around and be a blessing to somebody that doesn't have anything. If God's blessed you with a family and blessed you with people that my Thanksgiving dinner, it might seem like, oh my, you've got all kinds of opinions and ideas, and one wants the stuffing cooked this way, and one wants it done that way, and one wants the meat done this way, and one wants it done that way, and one wants this side of the turkey, and one wants that side of the turkey. But if you're blessed with a family to come together on Thanksgiving and be together as a family, why don't you turn around and be a blessing to somebody else that doesn't have no family to get with on a holiday?
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. He said, I'll bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. Faith, 1956, he says, all by grace, not because you deserve it, because he said so.
Amen.
Many times, if we're not careful, Brother Branham said it this way, now you've heard me quote it many times, but he said the two greatest enemies of God, and we think, you know, we begin to think of demons' names and things like that, or we begin to think of sicknesses, or but he said the two greatest enemies of God is sight and time. Sight and time, that we look at our circumstances and we look at the clock and we come and we get prayed for and 3 minutes later we're not better, or we come and we have a financial problem, we get down on our knees and we begin to pray at night and you know, we begin to realize, oh my, it's been 3 days and still no answer. And if we're not careful, us looking at the circumstances and looking at the clock, it becomes a hindrance to God. But we measure things by sight, but these characters of the Old Testament, when you get into the book of Hebrews chapter 11, they walked by faith and not by sight.
All right.
Amen. Now my brother, he's always giving me a hard way to go about my driving, and I tell him I drive by faith, not by sight, but that's another story. But they walked by faith. They didn't walk by what they saw. If they did, what a miserable condition they would have been in. God would speak to Noah and say, build an ark because it's going to rain. He could have looked around and said, there is no rain. But he wasn't walking by his sight. He was walking by his faith. Abraham, God could speak to him and say, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And here he is, 75 years old, when God begins to speak to him. A lot of you think, oh my, I'm a senior citizen, I'm drawing retirement, I guess God's just done with me. Most of the characters in the Bible, God was just getting started with them. Brother Branham said, if I could pick and I could, you know, start at 75 or 50 or 25, he said, I'd start at 75 because I know more and I have more experience, and God's tempered me down to know how to react to people a little better and things like that, know how to use the gift that God had given him. So it depends on what you're going to do. If you're going to be an athlete and run marathons, you'd probably want to pick the 25. Or if you're going to be a businessman and make a lot of money, you might want to pick the 50. But for somebody that's going to do something for God, sometimes those later years, God is just getting you close enough to the image that he had in his mind from the beginning of the world, and you fought him through your 20s, and you fought him through your 30s, and then by your 40s, you was beginning to slow down a little bit and yield to him a little bit, but you still had one foot in this and one foot in that, and then by the time you got 50 and 60, and then by the time you're 70, 90% of the sins you wanted to do, you don't even feel like doing anymore anyhow, so God can really work on you.
Amen.
Sometimes it takes him time. He's still working on me.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you. I know some people, you can tell by the way they walk through Walmart. They think God has just made them to a perfection to where they don't need anybody's help. They don't need anybody's advice. They don't need prayer. They don't need you to tell them about a quote or a scripture or encourage them. They don't need nobody. But I thank God that I'm not that blind and naked and wretched and deceived. I still need help.
Amen. That even the pastors need help. We need prayer. We need instruction of the Holy Spirit. We need sometimes a good anointed guest minister to come by and preach something to encourage us when we're down. You know, God knows what he's doing and how he's doing it, and he knows what the future is, but sometimes we sit and we scratch our heads and we look. But I thank God that he's still working on me.
Amen.
He's still molding. He didn't give up on me. Maybe some of you have by now, but he hasn't given up on me yet.
Amen.
Let me read it again. All by grace, not because you deserve it, because he said so. We look many times at the checking account, and we weigh our blessings. You know, either we weigh them or we calculate them or we list them. And if we're not careful, you know, the amount, the quantity, and the quality of our blessings, to many of us, it depends on that number in the checking account or the savings account or the 401k or whatever it would be that you're looking at. And we look at that, and as it gets higher and higher, we can go through the house or through the church with our chest out and sing, "Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed." And then you wake up in the morning and you're laid off and the 401k went down and you don't feel blessed. You don't feel blessed. Because you're gauging your blessings on a monetary value. Others look and they measure it on their health. If they're feeling good in the morning, bless God, I'm blessed and I feel good this morning. Maybe you call me and say, "Oh, Brother Nathan, I'm feeling better than I've felt in months. I can breathe through both nostrils. I can stand up straight without things cracking and popping and aching. And oh my, I feel so feeling so much better talking about this good old way." And then fall comes and your sinuses start and you just, "Oh, Brother Nathan, I just don't know. I can't make it to church. I can't hardly breathe. Oh my, I must have did something. The way of a transgressor is hard, Brother Nathan." And all of a sudden your blessing tank just plummets. Because you've been listening to too many prosperity preachers that tell you that that's what your blessings are. Your health and how new a vehicle you're driving. And oh my, I heard one say the other day on YouTube, said, "Oh my," he said, "God wants us to drive the best and dress the best and be the best." And I thought, goodness gracious, what scripture did he get that from? Amen. I thank God. You know, Brother Layton sent me a quote the other day that a lot of people fail to read. It's in the church age book if you'd like to go back and read it. But he was talking about elders. And he said many times people ordain elders because of, you know, their experience financially. If they're good with handling money or then they think maybe that somebody that's wealthy because of what the scripture said about riches, that they couldn't be an elder. He said, "Not for one moment would I hesitate to ordain a man if he was the richest person in the world or if he was the poorest person in the world." So he didn't calculate spiritual blessings off of the finances. That doesn't mean that a man that God blesses and calls, that doesn't mean that he can't dress nice or drive a nice car. But if God doesn't bless him financially with his spiritual gift, it doesn't matter if he comes in with holes in his suit or a brand new one. As long as God is blessing the man, praise the Lord. Amen. I've seen brothers in the message that could, you know, buy me 10 times over financially. I don't envy them and get jealous and say, "Lord, why didn't you bless me like that?" I say, praise God. Amen. Maybe I couldn't have handled being some of the money that was running through their fingers. Maybe I couldn't have handled that blessing, Brother Hoover. But I thank God that they're able to. Then others that maybe just crawling by, six or seven people in the church, can't hardly pay the utility bills, and yet God just using them and them preaching their heart out to those six or seven people. You know, Noah did that for 120 years. Amen. Didn't mean he wasn't called because he didn't have a mega church. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen, brother. That's the truth, brother.
So we don't weigh our blessings on the size of the congregation. I thank God that the church has continued to grow and that even when we got a lot of people out on town on vacation and things, that the church is packed on a Sunday morning. I thank God for that. But you know what? I'm not depending on whether he's blessing me or not on how full the pews are. If so, then some Sunday nights I'd come in and say, "Oh, Lord, why don't you bless me more?" We have church at Sunday nights at 6:30, just a reminder. Amen. We don't weigh our blessings on how full the pews are or how empty they are, how full the checking account is or how empty it is, how much health is in our body or how much. You know how I know I'm blessed, Brother Hoover? I'm blessed because he said I'm blessed.
Amen.
Amen. I that way when I get up in the morning, I don't have to weigh it with my feelings, with my emotions, with my health, with what somebody said about me on after the service Sunday, whether they patted me on the back and said, oh, that was a good one, Brother Nathan, or if they tried to just kind of slip out the other door and avoid me. It doesn't matter. All of that doesn't matter whether I'm blessed or not. It matters what he said about it, and he said I'm blessed.
Amen.
Amen. So whether the account's overdrawn or whether there's $10,000 in it, I'm blessed either way because he said I'm blessed. Whether I'm in a hospital bed or whether I'm able to run a marathon, I'm blessed either way.
Amen.
Amen. Whether I've got a new suit or one that's 14 years old, I'm blessed because he said I'm blessed. Amen. Stop looking at your circumstances. Stop looking at your checking account. Stop looking at your closet and your driveway and the size of the church and the size of the family and the size of all these things. Stop looking at all that to weigh your blessings. We are blessed, supremely blessed, because he said we were blessed.
Amen.
Amen. I take his word. Amen. That way I know 24/7, 365 days of the year, whether I feel that I'm blessed, whether I think that I'm blessed, whether I can show you and prove to you my financial blessings or my physical blessings or whether it's going the other direction, I know and can rest assured that I'm blessed because he said I'm blessed.
Amen.
I didn't deserve to be blessed, Brother Tim. I didn't deserve it, but it was his grace that called me and said, you're blessed.
Amen.
It was his grace that saved me when a lot of people might have thought I was unsavable. It was his grace that came down and loved me when most people would look and say, that guy is unlovable. My, he's stubborn and he's got a temper and he's self-absorbed and my, he's got that Bryant nature. Oh my, there's nothing to that guy. You didn't have to laugh so hard. But God said, I have a different plan for him. God said, I love him anyhow because I'm not looking at him now. I'm looking at him down the road.
Yeah.
But we look in the mirror and, oh, goodness, I didn't get enough sleep last night and I'm tired and I'm weary. And we begin to calculate our blessings on that. But God said, Abraham, I'm blessing you and you're going to be a blessing. And he didn't have a foot. Or he didn't have a piece of land to put his foot on that he owned, a stranger and a sojourner. He didn't have anything of much monetary value at this point in his life. He didn't have a child. He was having all kinds of family problems to where even his own nephew there and his nephew's servants and his servants arguing over the land and the cattle and the waters and the food and all this stuff. And he was having all kinds of problems. God said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. You're blessed because I said you're blessed. And you're going to be a blessing because I said so. He said, Lord, how can I be a blessing? I can't hardly take care of my own family. He said, you're blessed, Abraham. Just trust in me.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, my. Hebrews chapter 3, 1957. He said, why did God let this happen, Brother Branham? Why did God? Many times we ask God that. When sickness strikes the home, when death strikes the home, when financial problems, maybe you've been at a job for years and all of a sudden you get laid off and we begin to question God. Why, God? Why did this happen? Why did my best friend walk away and leave me? Why did this person in my family come against me? Why did this financial problem come up? Why are these physical problems in my body or in my family or whatever it would be? Why is there stress and pressures and turmoil and why this, why that? He said, why did God let this happen, Brother Branham? Why did God? He said, God is doing that. Let him alone. Just walk on. That's God's business. The footprints of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Yes, sir. What difference does it make? Lost all my money, Brother Branham. Well, bless God anyhow. Bless God anyhow. Hey, Job lost everything he had. Lost his cattle and his houses and his children, everything. And he didn't do like a lot of us and say, well, I guess if the Lord is not going to bless me, I'll just leave Christianity or I'll leave the church or I'll leave the message. He said, let me go down to the house of God and worship. Let me fall on my face and worship God. David, after he committed the worst sin that he'd ever committed, worse than most of us will ever do, not only did he commit adultery, but turned around and had the woman's wife killed to try to cover the thing up. And he goes in, and the prophet of God exposes the thing, and he goes in, and he repents of it, and he didn't say, oh my, well, you know, I guess my baby's died because of my sin, and I guess I'm just going to quit and go on. The Bible said he went down into the house of the Lord, and he fell down before the altar, and he worshiped. Because whether he was good or whether he wasn't good, God was good.
Amen.
And whether his circumstances was good or whether they weren't good, God was good anyhow.
Amen.
We say that little saying, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Yes. Amen. That doesn't just apply to the sunshiny, rosy days when we walk out and the car's waxed and there's money in the bank and gas in the tank and we've got a few days vacation. We think, oh, Lord, you're such a good God. But what about when it's raining outside and the boss is yelling at you and you can't hardly get through Friday to Monday before you're already almost overdrawn in your checking account? And can you still walk out and say, you're a good God anyhow, Lord? Amen. You're good even if things aren't good. The Bible said that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. It didn't say that things would always look good. It said it was working for our good. He said, well, bless the Lord anyhow. He said, the footprints of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. You know, sometimes even when disaster strikes, it's the gentle hand of Jehovah if we could just recognize it. Amen. We shared the testimony Wednesday night. We had a prayer for a young man that a co-worker of Brother Jimmy's knew. A young man had shot himself. And we got the report Wednesday night that not only did this bullet miss all of his vital organs, I think it was an accident. I don't think he was trying to shoot himself. But not only did this bullet miss all of his vital organs, not only was he recovering well and better than the doctors had expected, but his broken family that had been divided over little petty things of, oh my, I see it this way and I see it that way, like a lot of churches and families are today. But because of this disaster in their family, it had brought this broken family back together. Now, no doubt when the young man accidentally shot himself and he was laying there, blood spraying everywhere in the back of an ambulance on the way to the hospital, no doubt he didn't feel like that was working for his good. Amen. No doubt he wasn't maybe laying there thinking, oh, bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me. He may not have been rejoicing. He may have been crying and praying and seeking God. But it's hard in those moments of emergency to stop and say, Lord, there's a reason for this. Lord, there's a purpose for this. Even if I can't see it now, even if I can't understand it now, I'm going to bless God anyhow. Amen. I'm going to worship Him and praise Him anyhow because He's good and working for my good even when I don't understand it. But now maybe he can look back and say, Lord, I wasn't expecting a bullet, but I thank you for the bullet. Amen. No doubt maybe there's some of you that would take a bullet to see your broken homes restored and things. Hey, God has a way of doing things. You be careful when you pray, Lord, do whatever it takes, because the Lord will. He will do whatever it takes. He said, bless God anyhow. Oh, I did this and this happened. Storm blowed away my house. Bless God anyhow. The Lord give, the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just keep walking on.
Amen.
This is the attitude I was trying to have, Brother David, when we were sitting there at the table the other day and that lady backed into my car and we heard it go crunch. I was trying my best to bless the Lord anyhow. I told my wife afterwards, I said, hey, I'm a little further along than I thought I was. She said, what if it had been the Jeep? I said, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, all that is within me. He's still working on me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just keep walking on. It's all the glory of God. God knows what He's doing.
Yes.
Some through the water, some through the flood, some through deep trials, but all through the blood.
Yes.
He said, that's the way He leads us. That's right. Oh my, I feel like I could just stop and scream. That's the way He leads us, dear children. Oh, can you just feel? He said, now I'm not a psychologist, but can you just feel that lovely Spirit now bathing over the building? The congregation says, amen. He said, what if our eyes would come open just now and look what is standing around the sides of these walls up and down these aisles? Amen. I would like to submit that was not just for 1957, but if we can read our name into Abraham was blessed, I believe we can read our name in there this morning.
Amen.
If we can look around and see, not just in the church building, but on your drive to work or when you're taking the children to school, and you can look around, maybe semi-trucks headed your direction or dump trucks about to turn over, and the gentle hand of Jehovah just begins to push this one to the side and that one to the side, if we can look around and see.
Yeah.
You say, but what about when disaster comes? What about when troubles come? What about when sickness and persecution and trials come? He's working it for our good.
Amen.
Amen. Just as much as when He's protecting us, when He allows it to happen, it's working for our good just as much.
That's right.
Brother Branham had got to the place after he'd seen his wife die and his baby die and health problems in his own body and his daddy die and his brothers die and on down through death after death after death in the family. He got to the point where he could say, not just so that we could have a nice quote and read, but he believed it with his heart. He said, I can take his no's with just as much joy and gratitude as I can his yeses.
Amen.
His no's are just as good to me as his yeses. Many times we pray, and if God doesn't answer yes, we say, well, bless God, I'll just give up on this whole thing. No, God doesn't work like that.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You can't bribe God. You can't pressure God. You can't peer pressure God into do something. Well, Lord, if you don't do it, I'll just walk off. He'll say, walk off. Go butt your head against the wall. You'll get desperate enough and come back.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Maybe you can bully other people around or peer pressure other people, but you can't pull that game with God. No, God is going to, his perfect will is going to come about, even if he has to bring it through the avenue of his permissive will. He's going to bring it around to his perfect will. Amen. So if we could just get Nathan Bryant, and don't just pick on me this morning, read your name in there too. If you could get yourself out of the way to where the desire of your heart can be so eliminated that, Lord, not my desire, but your desire. Not my will, but your will. Then you find yourself in a place that even when he answers no, you can say, Lord, you know so much better than I do that the no was better than what my yes would have been.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 3. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God is laying out a promise. He's unfolding a revelation to Abraham here. He's telling him, I'm going to bless them that bless thee, and I'm going to curse them that curse thee. You know, that didn't make God just a watchdog that we could sick on somebody. Say, Lord, they talk bad about me. Go sick them, Lord, sick them. No, it meant that God had it under control.
Right.
It takes us out of the picture. There's no more rolling up our sleeves and bless God. When I see him, I'm going to do this. No, God's going to do the blessing,
Amen.
And God's going to do the cursing.
Amen.
Divine healing. 1954, he said, now see, there's no need of fighting. God takes care of all things.
Yes.
You see, don't do it. Just love them. Return good for evil all the time. Is that right? Oh, you know what makes the devil just about madder than anything? Is when he can turn somebody so hard against you and they can persecute you and talk bad about you. And instead of you turning around and reviling back and getting on Facebook and Twitter and running them down, you get in your prayer closet somewhere and you say, forgive them, Lord. They don't know what anointing they're under. They don't even realize what they're saying. They're anointed by an evil spirit. Lord, forgive them and open up their eyes. You want to talk about making the devil mad. But when you go down and kick down their door and roll up your sleeves and try to get the flesh, make it a flesh deal, Paul said, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and wickedness and high places. There's no need of fighting, he said. God takes care of all things, you see. Don't do it. Just love them. Return good for evil all the time. Is that right? When anybody speaks good about you, well, be thankful. If anybody speaks bad about you, bless them anyhow. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Amen. You know, some quotes are harder to live up to than others. You know, when he's talking about faith and kicking demons in the teeth and walking on seas and speaking things into existence, we can say, bless God, that's me right there. But when he says, when somebody speaks bad about you, bless them anyhow, can we read our name in there? Sure, that's right. Let God takes care of the rest. He's the one, isn't that right? He's the one. So after all, we all got to answer to him. And no matter what it is, if your arch enemy, if you got any feeling at all, and the worst enemy you got that you know was going to go to a place like hell, it'd make you feel bad. Why do we see people around the message and bless God, they're just an old serpent. See, they're going to hell because of the way they treated me and my family. It makes you wonder if they've really got the real thing down on the inside. Because the real Holy Spirit, the Bible said that the Lord doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's not out just to get somebody. He's not out with the chip on his shoulder waiting for somebody to make a mistake. So, oh yeah, I knew you was. I'm going to send you to hell now, boy. Like a lot of us feel sometimes. Bless God, if I was in charge, they'd never make it. Bless God, if they're there, I don't want to be there. You better be careful. God can arrange that for you.
Amen.
Oh, my. Said, if you got any feeling at all, and the worst enemy you got that you know is going to go to a place like hell, it'd make you feel bad. I don't know of a person, I can't think of the lowest person in the world today that it was Stalin up there, ever who it was. I'd hate to know that man was going to suffer in the torments of hell this morning. Amen. I'd hate to know it. I sure would. You mean a demon-possessed guy like Stalin? He could say this about a man like that, and then somebody talk bad about you on Facebook, and you're ready to write him off. Lord, just get the eraser and erase him out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You better go back to an altar somewhere and get that nature changed.
Amen.
I'd hate to know that man was suffering in the torments of hell this morning. I'd hate to know it. I sure would. I pray God have mercy upon his lost soul as he died. See? That God won't let him suffer like that in eternity. Think of a human in the torment of hell that the Bible pictures here to the unbeliever. Just think a human being. Why? He'd make a stone heart to want to make a man, to want a man to go to a place like that. I'd do everything I could to keep him out of it. I sure would. And I feel sorry for him to the depths of my heart if he went to a place like that. Lord Jesus, take us back to the potter's house this morning. He said, now you can see a brother doing wrong and try to guide him, but if he won't listen, then the only thing to do is love him anyhow and pray for him. Didn't say write him off and get everybody else against him and do everything evil you can, hope that he fails at his job and hope that he fails in life and hope that his family gets split apart and that he dies in poor health and all this. He said, love him anyhow and pray for him. Try to guide him if he'll listen. If he's wrong, try to guide him. Try to show him with love. Not with an arrogant spirit of, bless God, I know more than you do. But with love, try to guide him and show him, look, there's a better way than this. He said, then if they won't, they won't listen. The only thing to do is love him anyhow and pray for him. Yeah. Oh, what a lesson. What a lesson from the prophets. You know, I scratch my head when I see people walk away and say that this is a message of hate. I think, goodness gracious, what quotes did they read? They got stuck on a couple of dog meat quotes and they didn't even read it in the context he was given it. They got stuck on a couple good clean bullet quotes and didn't even read it in the context he was given it.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Take a handful of quotes and call it a message of hate. And fail to see all the thousands and thousands and thousands of quotes about love and forgive and pray. God, yeah. Brother Bam didn't hate those people that he called Jezebels and dog meats and things. He was just saying what type of spirit was anointing them. Yeah. He didn't want to see them go to hell. He didn't hate them. God. He was trying to preach it with all his heart to show what it was to try to get them out of those things. Like he said about the man running down the side of the river crying, get out of that boat, it won't make it. It's headed for the falls. You don't look at the man and say, you old legalistic thing. You just, who do you think you are talking about my boat like that? Why don't you just go on and mind your own business? All right, you're headed for the falls, though.
Yes.
Just go on and love them and pray for them anyhow if they won't listen. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He's just getting started on his journey, and he's 75 years old. You say, oh, but Brother Nathan, people lived longer back then than they do now. Well, not, you know, at this point in time, not a whole lot longer than they do now. The generations of man there was 120 years. Now it's 70, so 70 is the average. But hey, in this age, we've got them living to 100, 110, 118, things like that. Oh, my. And the retirement agencies and things are just about to lose their mind because they were expecting people to die of cancer at 78, and here they are, 100 and 120, and they're still paying them retirement checks and companies are panicking and things, but Abraham was 75 years old when he got started. And God tells him, go on this journey, and I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing.
Amen.
Don't let the devil convince you that you don't have a place in the body of Christ because of your age.
Amen.
The same God that could speak through Paul and turn around and say to Timothy, hey, don't let any man despise your youth.
Right.
I had a guy tell me a few weeks ago, said, you're the pastor? Said, you're just a child. I said, well, that's true, I guess. I don't know if he was just jealous of my youth or what, but it was all right. I didn't offend me. That's okay. Compared to some of these brothers, I guess I am. That's okay. I wanted to say, Nathan Bryant wanted to say, hey, remember what Paul said, Timothy? But I just let it go. It really didn't bother me. Now, 5 years ago, it would have bothered me, Brother Hoover. I would have said, now, wait a minute here. Let me give you some quotes and scriptures. But he's still working on me.
Amen.
But the same God that can speak through Paul and say, hey, Timothy, don't let no man despise your youth. could turn around and call Moses at 80 years old to go do a work. Could call Abraham at 75 years old to go do a work. So don't just sit down and quit because you think you're too young or you're too old, or Satan will just convince you your whole life you're in one of those categories. Oh, when I get a little older, or oh, if I was only a little younger, then you'll look back the other direction. Do something for God now.
Amen.
Do something for him now. You say, well, he didn't call me to preach. I didn't say you had to preach. Maybe he will call you to preach. Not you sisters, but maybe he'll call you to preach. Maybe he'll call you to sing. Maybe he'll call you to testify. Maybe he'll call you to be a witness on your job. Maybe he'll call to let you just shine a light for your neighbors to see when you walk out there and they see the holy life that you're living before God. Not because you're holy, but because he's holy.
Amen.
God will use you in some capacity if you'll just yield to him.
Amen.
He doesn't use everybody in the same capacity. He doesn't use everybody in the same amount of time. Here he trained up John the Baptist for 30 years, and he uses him for 6 months.
Yes.
6 months.
Right.
Here Jesus grows up and goes through growing pains and all this and walking in the Spirit, and he gets to 30 years old, and his ministry is 3.5 years is what we have recorded of his ministry.
Yes.
That God used him. Then other people, God may train them and use them for 20 years, 50 years, 70 years, whatever it would be. It doesn't matter. That's up to God. Amen. However long God wants to use me, praise the Lord. When he's done with me, praise the Lord again.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Whatever God wants. We don't dictate to God. God, I'd like to preach here in New Albany for 7 years, and then I'd like to go, I'd like to move over and maybe some pastor start a church in Hawaii and call me to minister there the rest of my life for my retirement, and I'd like for this and that. We don't get to pick and choose.
Amen, brother.
And a lot of times we just apply that to pastors and ministers, but if you'd really apply it to your life and yield to God the way that you should, you don't get to pick and choose either.
Right.
Maybe you're trying to. Maybe you're beating your head against the wall trying to be something that God never called you to be. But if you would just yield yourself to God, he'd place you with the right spouse. He'd place you with the right in the right conditions. He'd place you at the right place, at the right time, at the right job. All of it will just fall together if you yield to God.
Amen.
But when we try to do it ourselves, that's where we get in trouble. Abraham didn't say, well, Sarah, I think we'll just go down to Haran. The weather's a little nicer down there this time of year. Let's pack the kitties they didn't have kitties yet, but pack the rest of the family up and the servants, and I feel an itch to go down to Haran because the weather's so nice this time of year. Maybe the weather was worse in Haran. I don't know, but God called him to go.
Right.
Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. Don't go around with the sad head. Don't go around moping and complaining and grumbling. Lift up now thine head and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. This is a man that's 75 and doesn't have a child. I'd just like to remind you.
Amen.
I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise. Walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee.
Amen.
Brother Bram says in Jehovah Jireh 1957, he said, if I fell heir to a house, I sure wouldn't want to move into it till I got and looked everything over. I want to see what's mine. I want to see what I own.
Amen.
And when I fell heir to the kingdom of God, to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, baptized into this great arcade of God's eternal blessings, I like to walk around and see what's mine. Amen. Look on the shelves. See what this is. Here it is. Every promise in the book belongs to every believer.
Amen.
Don't you stand still for somebody to push you off in a corner.
Amen.
Give you a little cold tater and tell you to wait. Don't you listen to that stuff.
Amen.
God's promises right now push you off in a millennium somewhere. The Bible said now we are the sons of God.
Amen.
Oh, bless God, Brother Nathan. I'm just waiting for this, and I'm waiting for this brother to rise up. I'm waiting for that one to do this. I'm waiting for this one to come back. I'm waiting for that to happen. I'm waiting for the millennium. I'm waiting for the rapture. I'm waiting for the resurrection. You know what? God didn't call us to wait. He didn't call us to sit on our hands and just say, well, you know, I'll just wait for so-and-so to do it, and I'll wait for this, and I'll wait for that. He commissioned us. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. You say, oh, that was just for the ministry. Brother Bram said every Christian has a right to pray for the sick. He said every Christian has a right to baptize. You've got a commission too this morning to go and do something. Don't just sit and listen to that stuff and let somebody push you off into the millennium somewhere and wait. Well, what, you know, like Dr. Best said, Brother Bram said he preached a good Camelite sermon. Once we, you know, this mortal puts on incorruption, this mortal puts on immortality, this corruption puts on incorruption, then we'll have divine healing. He said, what would we have need of divine healing then? Right. In a perfect body. Don't push these things, these promises off for some other time. Now is the time.
Yeah.
Now is the time. Now we are the sons of God, yeah. He said.
Amen.
What we will be, we are now, present tense.
Amen.
If anything that looks a little high and a blessing that looks like it, I'll get me a stepladder and move up and look at it anyhow.
Oh, my.
You say, oh, Brother Nathan, some of these things in the scripture, I don't think some of the things Brother Bram said about the bride, I don't think I could ever get you a stepladder. You say, I don't feel like I'm high enough yet. We'll take a couple more steps higher. Amen. Step a little higher into the world. Get up. You say, oh, I can't see it. It feels like maybe there's something up here for me. Get up a little higher. Climb up a little higher and see what it is. Oh, goodness. Look at all the dust up here. Goodness gracious. Look at what God left for me up here. Amen. Many times we read our favorite verses and our favorite quotes, but we don't really dust the whole thing off to see what was promised. Get a step ladder and move a little higher into the Word of God. Look at it anyhow. He said, I like to look around. It's all yours. And every promise in the Bible is yours.
Amen.
I was talking to some of the brothers recently. You know, we've seen God move so many times over and over and over the last few years with healings. We had a testimony of it this morning. Sister Tina, different ones, nosebleeds and brain bleeds and cuts on their hands and cuts on their body and female problems and different things. And read Ezekiel 16:6 and pray the prayer of faith and instantly see it time after time after time, God move on the scene. I said, if we could apply the same amount of faith that we do to that, to every scripture in the Bible, what type of church would this be? What type of group of people would we be? Hey, it's all the Word of God. I want to remind the devil this morning that the rest of it is just as inspired and anointed as Ezekiel 16:6 is. Amen. The rest of it is just as inspired and anointed as Malachi 4 and Luke 17:30 and Acts 2:38 and Joel 2 and all my all over Malachi 4, 5, and 6. The rest of it is just as anointed. Amen. Let's put it into action. Don't let it sit dusty and say, well, it was for some other age or, well, it was for somebody else. Claim your possession this morning.
Amen.
Claim your inheritance. Brother Branham said, we live so far below our standards. I don't know about you. I'm tired of living below my standards.
Amen.
You know, the problem in this age financially is most people live above their standards. And they go out and they can't hardly afford a 15-year-old car and they buy a brand new car. And then they find out, you know, they're having to work two and three and four jobs to keep up with it. Or they let it go back to the bank because they couldn't do it because they're living higher than their standards. But for the bride of Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about financially, I'm talking about promises in the Word of God. Our problem is we live below our standards.
Right.
Amen. Brother Bram said, why take a substitute when the Pentecostal skies is full of the real thing? Scripture after scripture, verse after verse. My, I don't know how long we'll go on with this series, but we could go on for 50 years and read through each verse and each line and identify ourselves. That's me. That's me. That's me. I'm blessed. I'm healed. I'm saved. I'm filled. I'm victorious.
Amen.
Amen. Read your name in there. Don't let somebody shove it off in some other age or shove you off in some corner and wait for something else. Apply it to your life.
Amen.
Apply it to your family. Say, it's for me, Lord.
Yeah.
It's not for somebody in a prayer line in 1957. It's for me.
Yeah.
It's not for somebody on the sands of Galilee. It's for me. It's all not right. Somebody back there in Egypt that Moses came to deliver. It's for me.
Amen. Amen. That's
right. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
Yes.
Oh, can we read ourselves in there?
Amen.
In this age, seems like if there's anything Satan wants to try to do is place a spirit of fear on somebody. Oh, they're afraid their loved ones are going to be lost. They're afraid their finances, they're afraid the economy is going to crash and that they've invested in the wrong things and they're just going to lose out financially. They're afraid their car is going to break down. They're afraid their house is going to burn down. Oh, don't light no candles. Don't do that. We might burn down the whole house. Don't. God didn't give us a spirit of fear.
Amen, brother. That's right.
Fear not, Abram. I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Why don't you read your name in there this morning? Fear not, Trevor. He's your shield and your exceeding great reward.
Amen.
Fear not, Wade. He's your shield and your exceeding great reward.
Amen.
Fear not, Stephen. He's your shield. He's your exceeding... Why should we worry this morning?
Amen.
Maybe you've got a lot worse trials than me. Maybe you're going through worse pressures than I am. But as for me and my house, I've got to the point where why worry?
Amen.
Amen. We sing the song, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't worry or the future, for the skies may turn to gray. Amen. But I know who holds the future.
Yes.
And I know who holds my hand.
Right. Amen.
I don't know what the future holds. The next few years, we may be in for all kinds of surprises, economically, politically, spiritually, with the church pressures, political pressures, religious pressures. We may be in for all kinds of things that we ain't even ready for yet. But hey, you know what? If we're really of God, He'll pressurize us for it before we get there. Why should I worry about tomorrow? Why should I lay up at night and bite my fingernails and lose sleep? Don't fear, Nathan. I'm your shield. I'm your exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heavens and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He didn't have any proof of this. He didn't have any visible sight of this. He didn't have any children yet to prove this or to even have a start to go on, but he believed God anyhow. And he counted it to him for righteousness.
Yeah.
If he can believe that, how much more can we look into the Word of God that's been proved time after time after time, age after age after age, but then a little circumstance rises up and a little fear creeps in and says, oh goodness, Lord, I just don't know. I don't know if I got the faith. I don't know if it's for me. I don't know if it's for this age. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Stop. Whether you know or not, you're blessed.
Amen.
He blessed you. He promised it. Whether you've got proof or not, walk by faith. Say, Lord, I'm reaching up and taking a hold of your promise. I may not see the fruits of it yet, but I believe. Brother Bram said it this way. He said, that scripture you say, speak to this mountain and it'll be moved. Jesus said, if thou sayest, even if you got a grain of faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, that's not a whole lot of faith. Just mustard seed faith would move a mountain. What would rapturing faith do?
Yeah, right, yes.
If mustard seed faith could move a mountain, what will rapturing faith do? Brother Bram said, we have a power within us. He said, there's a law of God that's in place. But he said, we have the power in us, the faith in us, if we could just harness it to speak worlds in existence and go live on them.
Yeah, right.
If we can do that with rapturing faith, little mustard seed faith, what can it do? It can move mountains. It can move cancers. It can move financial troubles and marital problems and all kinds of different things. But he said, say to this mountain, you speak it. He didn't say, I'm going to speak to the mountain. He said, you say to the mountain. You declare it. You claim it. He's the high priest. The Bible said of our profession and confession, Brother Bram said the same word. He said, you speak it. And he said, then God will even make your body come under subjection to what you speak. You go around and say, I'm defeated. I don't have no joy. I got sickness in my body. I got family problems. Well, just keep speaking that into existence if you want. But why not look up, Abraham, and say, it's all mine. As far as I can see that way, every promise from Genesis to Revelations, every promise from 47 to 65, it's all mine.
Amen.
Amen. Have a positive confession.
Amen.
He said, speak to that mountain. He said, now, the mountain may not move right then. Remember, we get to looking at time and sight and all that. The mountain might still be there. A week may go by, A year may go by. You may not see any difference. But over on the back side of the mountain, he said, maybe just a little spoonful falls off.
Right. Yeah.
He said, then maybe by the next day, it's a bulldozer full. And here this mountain, tons and tons and tons and hundreds and millions of tons of rock, but a little spoonful and a little bulldozer scoop and a little bit more and a little bit more. The mountain is already moving.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't even see it yet, but the mountain is moving. Why? Because God said so.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. If the musicians would come, let's read this from Romans chapter 4 before we close. Let me read you that scripture and one more quote, and then we'll close. Romans chapter 4, verse 22. Verse 20 starting, I'm sorry. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform.
Amen.
Amen. We need to be fully persuaded this morning.
Yes.
Whatever he says, whatever he promised, it's not just words, it's not just letters on a page, but he is fully able to perform.
Yes.
And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness.
Amen.
Brother Bram says in Jehovah Jireh, part 1, 1964, he said, and remember, Abraham the patriarch was never absolutely fully blessed until he obeyed exactly what God said to do, and will never, never, never be blessed any and have the blessings until we obey what God said do. Another thing I want you to notice here in the 12th chapter, that the covenant was altogether unconditional. It was not any strings attached. I have, not if you. There wasn't no ifs to it. I have already done it.
Amen.
He gave Abraham the covenant unconditionally. And now, no, in the Adamic covenant, it was, if you don't touch this tree, then I'll do so and so. But if you do, then I'll have to do so and so. See, that had law attached to it. But in this covenant, I have already made you a father of many nations. And it's all unconditional. The covenant's purely grace, just absolutely grace. Only thing they had to do to maintain this covenant was stay and abide in the land, and every blessing went with the covenant was with them. Only thing they had to do was stay in the land. Now, we find out when they went down in Egypt, they lost their blessing, but not their covenant. Oh, glory.
Amen.
The covenant was still there. Now, when they got out of the will of God, when they got down into Egypt, God said, all you got to do is stay in the land and you'll be blessed and I'll bless you. But when they got down in the land of Egypt and got away because of famine and things, he didn't just rip up the covenant and say, sorry, you made a mistake. The covenant was unconditional. The blessings had a condition. You had to receive what he said. You had to do what he said. You had to accept, I'm blessed because he said I'm blessed.
Amen.
But the covenant wasn't conditional. The covenant didn't matter how many times they fell on their face. Didn't matter how many times they left the land. The gentle hand of Jehovah kept bringing them back over and over.
Amen.
You might have failed him, but he didn't fail you. Amen. The blessings may have been taken away for a while because of your unbelief and your wandering, but it didn't change his covenant. It didn't change his mind about you. Oh my, your name is still written on the Lamb's Book of Life. He may have had to drag you through some troubles and trials to get you back on the straight and narrow. He may have had to rob some blessings from you, but he didn't change his mind about you.
Amen.
He said, oh, a mother could forget her suckling babe, but he said, how could I forget you? Your names are engraved on the palms of my hand.
Yes.
They lost their blessing, but not their covenant. The covenant was still there. They lost the blessing, but not their covenant, because their covenant was grace. Unconditionally. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't want to get out from under his blessings.
Amen.
I want to stay behind the word. You say, where's our promised land at today, Brother Nathan? How do we stay in the land? Right behind the word of God.
Amen.
As long as you're behind the word, Brother Bram said, Satan can't even come in and get you. He said, as long as Eve was behind that word, Satan was powerless. But when she got out from behind the word, that's when Satan could come in.
Amen.
So you want to stay in the blessings of God, stay behind the word. But man, if you get out from behind that word and make a mistake, you say, oh, Brother Nathan, I made a mistake. I guess I'm just lost. I guess I'm not predestinated. I'm not elected. No, you just don't know what predestinated and elected is.
Right.
You can't lose your predestination. You can lose your blessing. God can make you go through all kinds of trials and troubles down here on earth, but you can't lose the covenant, because the covenant was unconditional.
Right.
He didn't say, now, Nathan, if you'll come and you'll live and you'll do this, then maybe if you're real good and squeaky clean when you get down at the end of the road, then I'll choose you. He chose me before the foundation of the world. Before I had any choice in it, he said, this is my unconditional covenant. Now, Nathan, you can come the easy way or you can come the hard way. I can bless you or I can curse you, but my covenant's going to be the same.
Amen.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that we can look into the scriptures. Lord, as the Bible said, these things were given to us for in samples, for an example that we could look at, Lord, and read ourselves and recognize, just as Abram had flaws, just as he had faults, just as he had mistakes in his life. Lord, we make mistakes. We stumble and fall. Lord, when he got out of your will, he got out of the blessings, but it didn't change your mind about him. It didn't change your covenant towards him. Lord, I thank you. Lord, that no matter how far we stray, Lord, it might affect our outcome down here on earth, but it's not going to affect our eternal outcome because you already made up your mind about us. You already looked down through time and saw the end from the beginning. You saw me just like you saw Jacob and Esau. And you looked down at one and said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Before either one of them was even born or had done any good or evil. Yet you by foreknowledge could look down and make a covenant with Jacob that I've chose you, I've called you. I'm going to make you a prince. I'm going to make you a father of nations. I'm going to place my name in you. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Satan comes and tries to lie to us as we sang in the song. But Lord, regardless of his lies, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our character flaws, and regardless of our humanity and our mistakes, Lord, we'll just keep pressing on because you said so. You said that there'd be a bride without spot or wrinkle. Lord, I can't force it. I can't manifest it on my own. But Lord, you said it'd be there, so we'll be there by your grace. Lord, in our legalism, we can't come a pharisaical way of do's and don'ts, but it takes you to come and change a life. Pour out your blessings upon us, Lord, we pray. Help us to stay within your word. Help us to yield ourselves, Lord. Lord, help us not to be stubborn and you have to bring us the hard way, but Lord, may you bring us through blessings. May you bring us through promises. May you bring us through your word. Lord, we thank you. But Lord, we also thank you that even if we do stumble and fall, you still got a covenant with us. That it wasn't if I or if you or it was I've already done it. It's a finished work. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We worship you this morning, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, I know he has done great things. Let's bless his holy. Oh, I will bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Oh, bless his holy. Yes, I will bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all. Whether the checking account's full, whether it's empty, whether I got health in my body, whether I'm on a sick bed, I'll still bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, I want to bless his holy. Oh, why don't you testify to him this morning? Oh, I know he done great things. We can look back through our life and recognize, oh, he's done great things. Oh, I know he. Lord, we want to bless your holy name. Oh, I will bless the Lord. I'm not looking at my circumstance. I'm looking at the promise. I'm not waiting on you to do this. You don't have to wait on me to do that. Oh, but it's already done. Hallelujah. It's already done. We praise your name. Oh, the battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, it's already. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the trial, there's victory down the road. Oh, because it's already done. He made a covenant with you. Oh, I know it's already done. Lord, I praise your name. This battle is over. Oh, maybe you're right in the heat of the trial. Maybe you're right in the middle of the battle. But don't worry. The one that calms the storms is riding in the boat with you this morning. Right now, but you can testify. Oh, and I'll praise your name. Lord, my battle is over. Oh, why don't you claim it this morning? In the name of Jesus. Oh, it's already done. Maybe you're worried about your family, but let's sing it this way. Oh, Lord, my family is sealed. They're your inheritance. He gave them to you. Oh, my family. Sick in body this morning. Let's sing it this way. Oh, but I'm already healed. The symptoms may say different, but the word says I'm already healed. By his stripes, I praise his name. Oh, that battle. Oh, can you accept it? If you got sickness in your body, why don't you just stand up to your feet and accept it? Say, Lord, I accept my healing. By your stripes, it's a finished work at Calvary.
Thank you, Jesus, God, for what a wonderful service, what a wonderful blessing you have blessed your hearts are happy. We can go out today, God, just staying in your blessings all day today, God, being with you, Jesus. What an honor it is to be called one of your children, to be a sheep, God. Reaching down and holding us this morning, God. Cradle us as a mother would her baby, Jesus. What an honor it is, God. What a feeling it is. It just stays with you forever. God, be with us, Jesus. Guiding, protecting us today. Lord God, give us strength. Keep us safe today. Bring us back at the appointed time this evening. Looking forward to being with you all day today. Not just this evening, but all day, God. Touch our hearts. Let us come back, God, just looking forward for another blessing, Jesus, to be with you another time. Lord, be with us this afternoon, keeping us safe, bringing us back. We praise and thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Let's sing it as we go. Greet one another in the name of the Lord, and you're dismissed.
Yes, Lord.